Tell me, what was your father's full name then?
Frederick Orville.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay. And your mother?
Gertrude. Did she have a second name? Mm-hmm.
Not to worry, anyway.
What? She was an Alice.
An Alice. Mm-hmm. I see. And what about your father's parents? Do you remember your grandparents on that side?
I remember my grandmother. My grandfather had been gay.
Okay.
Before I was born.
What was your grandmother's name? Just called her Grandma, I guess, eh?
Yeah. I have to stop and think.
All right, sure.
She was Grandma.
Yeah. Did the John?
Oh, Martha.
It was Martha.
Robert and Martha Johnson. William and Ellis was my mother's parents,
Okay.
William and she had a couple of different names. She went by, and I'm not sure just what.
So she was an Ellis. Was that the family name then?
That was her family.
Yeah, her family, I see.
Do you know Mansell's family or any of that?
No, I don't think so. But
they lived out in Assiniboia.
I see. Do you know when the first Johnsons came? Did they come from England or Ireland or Scotland? Do you have any idea?
No, I really don't.
No idea, eh?
I
All right, and on your mother's side then, what were you? Did you know your grandmother and your grandfather on her side?
No.
Right.
I just knew one grandmother, and that was Grandma Johnson.
Okay. All right. Did you spend some time at her farm, or you remember playing there?
No, she was moved to Ackle before I remember, but she had left the farm. Ackle Basil Johnson had taken it over. That was the youngest of the family.
I see.
And she had a house on Bower Avenue in Ackle, and I remember it.
Okay.
But one of the girls never married, and she lived with her all the time, Melissa.
I see.
Yeah.
So your family was kind of an Acton family.
Yeah. And the Nellises just lived out Blue Springs Line.
Yes, I see.
Yeah.
What is your age now, Eileen? How old are you?
More, how old am I?
More or less. 70 something.
No.
80.
87.
Yeah.
87. You can answer. It's fine.
Yeah, I'll be. I'm 87 now.
Yeah. Well, you're 10 years ahead of me then, so you're doing well. And you're staying here at. Before you came into the. Extended care here. Where were you living?
In
the Six Lines Farm.
The corner of the farm, yeah.
Where
they built on.
We separate the lot off.
This is the famous Burt Farm then on the Sixth Line of Squeezing, isn't it?
No.
Of
Wellington.
Of Wellington.
Wellington.
You're north of
township.
Oh, you're in Wellington County. Yes. So I know you have a son named Harvey and a daughter named Doris. Is that your family? And Harvey is still farming on the home farm. He's very busy. When I phone him, I have to wait till 10 o'clock at night till he's finished in the field.
He always was a night hawk.
Yeah. What was your... when you were living on the farm there... Was your closest village, was it Ballinafad or Erin, or where did you go for your groceries and so on?
Acton, usually.
You went to Acton, eh?
Yeah.
Did you have any reason to go into Ballinafad?
Oh,
The feed mill, maybe? Did you go there for to have grain ground?
I don't know.
No.
They weren't at Ballinafad that much.
No.
I remember going.
Hmm?
We met some. I remember going.
Well, I guess they used to go to the mill over there some, didn't they, and get feed and one thing another, and then
the
store was right across the road.
Church and Old Hall to go dancing. We used to go to some of the dances at Old Hall there.
Well, you've got a better memory than I have now,
because
mine's not very good.
Well, Harvey still comes to the church. I saw him there in May this year at the anniversary, anyway.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I lived right next door to the church in the Fed.
Oh, yeah.
That's where my family were living. So when you were on the farm for many, many years, I guess, and you and your husband, when did your husband pass away? Was it 5 or 10 years ago? Or
May 29th, 2001.
2001, eh? Mm-hmm. Okay. And his name was
Lloyd.
Lloyd Burt, yes.
Yeah.
Right. Where on earth did you meet up with him? How did you find that man?
My brother was married to his sister.
Oh.
And we stood up with him.
I see.
So that's how we...
So it was kind of all in the family, eh?
Yeah.
Well,
but we hadn't been going together then, but then we started after that.
Sure. Did you know his parents, your in-laws, were they...
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And
I knew his brothers and sisters, too.
Good. So is that a good place to... farm? I don't know. Do people make a lot of money living on farms like that?
Does anybody make a lot of money at farms anymore?
Well, I haven't met any, but I've heard there are some somewhere. It's kind of mixed farming, isn't it, Eileen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some livestock?
Oh, yes. We get cattle.
And what was your job on the farm? Did you do any of the farm chores or the field work, or
yes.
You mostly in the house? Or?
No, the housework kind of got pushed aside when it was time to do anything. I usually grew quite a big garden and
preserved a lot for
the
winter.
Yeah, I can remember my husband taking there was a guy around. Trying to get us to list the farm one time.
Oh, yes.
He wanted to see the house, and Lloyd was taking them through, and they went down to the basement, and he said, "Oh, look at the fruit." It was in the fall. Of course, there was all the jars.
Canning all that fruit was a pretty big job, wasn't it?
Well,
and the vegetables and
you
everything.
You never thought of it then.
No.
Is that who?
That's right.
Yeah.
Did you ever drive the team or anything?
Oh, yeah.
You did, eh?
Yeah, I drove the team when we were at home, but that was mostly tractor after.
Yeah.
By the time we got married, it was a tractor quite a bit.
And when in the fall, when it was time for the thrashers to come, I guess your job was to feed some of those people,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, that was the job, was to get them fed.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. They would go through quite a bit of food in a day, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. I think I kept track of the pies one year that I made for that. And I forget what it was now, but it was up in the teens, I think, for the pies.
Oh, boy.
Well, Dad's been known to eat a pie himself, so.
I see.
Yeah, he did.
I think they had a bet one time, a couple of guys, and I think they both polished off a pie each or something.
Wow.
Had like a pie-eating contest.
Did that pass on to your...
That was before he met me. That was when he was young and foolish.
Later he became old and foolish,
yeah.
Like we all do.
Mom and Dad used to work at Willett's, the turkey farm there,
oh, yeah.
On the crossroad too.
Yeah.
Both Mom and Dad worked there.
Near Peacock School there.
No, it's right on the...
Oh, on the crossroad, yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Just west of where the Fergusons lived there.
Yeah, between Defoggo and the Six, about halfway across there on the right-hand side.
I remember it. I used to deliver turkey food there mm-hmm. from the mill with the mill truck. That was mm-hmm. one of my jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was quite a big business.
Well, one year they couldn't find anybody to kill the turkeys, and I said, who do you get when you want to do the roosters and that? And I said, oh, my husband does. So they immediately got a hold of him, and he had to kill turkeys one after another for mm-hmm. us picking.
Yeah.
But we both worked at the turkey farm that year.
I see.
She was just a toddler, and we had to take her to a neighbor's most of the time, so she did get to the turkey pen once or twice.
That was her chance to learn how to pick the feathers.
She'd come up and pick a few off.
Good.
I didn't go get the BB gun or anything like I did with the cattle.
She got mad at the cattle one day, and she was going to stick.
The trucker was coming to take my cattle.
Oh, that's right. She had made pets of some of these calves,
yes.
And they were going to. She was going to protect them. They weren't taking her calves.
So she was pointing the BB gun at the driver, was she?
Yeah.
Pretty fierce.
Well, so that was before he got there, and we got it away from her and got her calmed down.
Yeah. Would that have been part of, say, any 4-H program, Doris? Were you part of a 4-H at all?
Actually, I never took cattle, the livestock, when I was homemaking.
We took homemaking.
Yeah, but at one time we had quite a strong 4-H club in Belfast.
Yeah.
It has been in for a while. I think we used to have like 20 some members for a while.
Oh.
It actually was so big for a while we had to split it. And
that's my mother and dad's wedding picture.
Oh, yeah. You want to just tell us a bit about who were the leaders in that 4-H group?
Well, Mrs. Jameson was for a while.
Oh, yes.
Margaret Jameson. And...
Willa Shortle, was she involved in that?
Not when I was in Willa. Ada Kirkwood.
Oh, yes.
Eleanor McLean.
Yeah.
Mom was for a while.
Okay.
Actually, I even led a couple when I got in my later teens.
Yeah.
Doreen, as well. And Linda Mitchell, the later years.
Okay.
And I think maybe a couple, Jennifer maybe, her daughter.
I see.
Led a few. But we used to have quite a. There's not near as many around anymore, anywhere, I don't think. It's like something like Bloom's Institute. It's kind of fading out. It's too bad.
Yeah. The Women's Institute were kind of a sponsor for that?
Originally, yes. I remember receiving, I think it was when I got 12 clubs. I can't remember if it was 12 or 24. But they presented me with a tray. And,
okay.
Yeah, they helped
sponsor. I think it was the 12, yeah.
And actually, we used to hold teas once in a while and invite the Institute members because they actually did sponsor us. And a lot of the members were mothers, though, you know, it kind of went hand in hand.
Were the Women's Institute quite active around the community then? What sort of things were they doing, Eileen?
Well, they did sponsor the club, and what else were they doing?
There's something else I know that came up. They made donations to. They helped support the hall, I think.
They were busy when they were building the hall.
They used to have a booth at one time.
We had a booth one fall and took it to I don't know how many places.
Yeah, some fairs or auction sales. They used to have the booth.
Okay.
Yeah, we made quite a bit out of the booth so that we could help out the hall.
We did have an interview with Ada Kirkwood, and she was quite a source of information.
Oh, she would be.
I bet you.
Yeah. That's right.
She's good.
I remember when Eleanor McLean and Ada used to be our 4-H leaders, and a bunch of the girls were at that time both in 4-H and junior farmers. And of course, all of a sudden, the 4-H meeting turned to junior farmers things because at that age it was more interesting, you know. because there was guys in it. And I remember them kind of just shaking their heads. And it's like, come on, girls, we have to get this done.
So 4-H was a girl's side and a boy's side? They didn't meet together?
Well, the early years, we just had girls. Yeah. Later on, it was mixed. We
sure.
Depend on the project, but we had like some photographic clubs and stuff like that. Okay. And garden clubs, which we had boys into.
But seems like you were pretty busy working and farming and driving horses. Was there any time for social life? Did you have a chance to have some fun? What did you do and where did you go for that, Eileen?
Well, we had an institute going and they sponsored the, what do you call your clubs?
The 4-H.
Yeah.
But the hall was always a source.
Oh, yeah, then we had raised a lot of money for the hall they put up.
And they used to have dances there, a lot of dances. Yeah. I remember Mom and Dad going to dances there at Bellingfed Hall, and the kids, we'd play hide-and-seek in the cemetery.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
we'd hide behind all the gravestones.
Wow. Yes. Was that, at one time there used to be a shed under that old hall to put your horses in, but it was probably gone by then,
yeah,
I guess.
I just remember the old one, but I do remember building the new one.
Really worked the year we tried and were putting up the another hall.
Yeah.
Because they took the booth to all the any farm sales that come up or the fairs and one thing another. And we raised a lot of money for it through the booth.
What about sports teams? Was Lloyd into any softball or hockey or Harvey himself? Were they ball players?
No.
Oh, Lloyd had been, but not, he had played, you know, when he was home, like, for a bit, but, no, they never were right into...
It's when he was young and foolish. Right. Yeah. What about church activities? Was the church fairly important in your family, or went once in a while, or...?
Yes, one at the fair, there was quite... my family had all been interested in the Churchill one too, although we went to Act and the church there, but there's still that one, anything special. Dad had to go when I was a kid.
Yeah, right.
So we...
Yes. So I don't know what you think about those days. There was lots of hard work. What was the good part of living in that community? What do you remember that makes you feel good about life in those days?
Well, I would say the one of the main things was the friends you made. You know that I was in the institute for a while and the church meetings and that and I. They were always, you know, we got to know all the neighbors.
What's happening there in that picture?
They built a silo.
Oh, yes.
And that's Donald McLean was helping in that picture.
Yeah.
Now, that was a timer.
That's Donald, I guess. Yeah. That's Lloyd's father.
So that's how you made friends, I guess. You worked back and forth and helped everybody.
Yeah.
Just when you said that, I just remember seeing that picture there, and they were used to help one another with the crops.
I wondered how in the world these guys were ever going to get down, but they made it.
Oh, there's a ladder there somewhere. It's a pretty dirty job, though, with the corn blowing in on your head and down your neck and... So on, but...
There's the date on it, 51.
51, yeah. If you don't tramp it down, it can spoil, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Tramp it down and get more in, because it's got to last all winter.
But I never put who the guys were at the top. I put Donald's. But...
So the McLeans were some of your close neighbors, were they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did an interview with Helen McLean.
Oh.
And Don Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a few stories from them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What about the, I guess, the hard times or some of the tough parts of life in those days? Remember times when it's maybe hard to get something to eat in the house, or does it ever get that bad?
No, I grew a big garden.
All right. Yeah.
So I never worried too much about, but and I can used to can over 100 jars of fruit.
Ooh.
And as you know, we got I grew quite a lot of fruit, the small stuff, like, and then we used to go for down for peaches. And
oh yeah.
So
Doris needed a new coat. There was always lots of money in the bank for that.
Oh, well, there wasn't lots, that's for sure.
Maybe enough, eh?
Yeah, we always made out. We never,
yeah. What about yourself, Doris? Do you remember what are any of the good memories you mentioned, 4-H? Is there anything else you want to mention as some good memory you have from life in that part? You're still living there, of course.
I always think it was great as a kid growing up in the farm to be around, you know, the animals. I remember we used to have dairy cattle one time. Mm-hmm. Then we had pigs.
Yeah.
We used to have a few chickens. And then we went into beef cattle, which we still have now.
Yeah.
Only I didn't come along when we still had the horses, unfortunately, because I love horses.
Yes.
But they were gone before I made my debut. And I did have managed to twist my dad's arm. I did have a riding horse for a few years. But I've always had cattle. Ever since I was like 5, I've had my own cattle.
That would mean, yes, that they were yours.
Yeah.
And you could keep a bit of money if you sold them. And
it started off with, we had a Guernsey calf, and it was so stubborn, Dad couldn't get it to suck, and of course, out the dairy, you know, you had the pail feed them.
Yeah.
He couldn't get to drink, and he was, and I said, I'll do it. So I got working with it, and I started drinking, and
yeah.
So my dad said,
put your finger in the milk, and
yeah, you can have it. So that was my start, and I was
I see.
About 5. And so.
Wow. Well, that's that's a source of income, and you learn very young to to value the animals. That's
you also, you know, learn the facts of life, like everything has a cycle, and
that's right.
And you know, you learn about death when you're on a farm, you know, which lots mm-hmm. of other kids I, you know, never experienced that until it's that's close to home or something. Farm, you're always dealing with things like that.
Yeah. Most children today don't their parents don't work at home. They don't work where they live, so the children never see their
mm-hmm.
parents at work, and they don't get any experience of sharing or digging in that
exactly.
way. That was surely one of the advantages you're saying of
mm-hmm.
being on a farm.
I was glad that I was able to raise my children, you know, around the farm. They're not, I wouldn't say real farm children, but they still come when there's hay to be done or anything like that, you know, they're
yeah.
there. And, you know, but they will never be farmers. Like,
yeah.
you know, it's not quite their cup of tea.
How is the community these days, especially around the Fed and I guess towards Acton? There are a lot of new homes and people moving in who don't farm. What difference does that make to the community, do you think, Connie? Or Doris?
Well, there's not that we have had with some, but I know that there's some that get upset because when they're spreading the manure on the
yeah.
field, they get very upset because there's an aroma.
Yeah.
But we haven't had any actually complain to us about that, but I know there's been a lot of stories in some of the newspapers with people getting really upset about that. Another concern sometimes is that when they come out, they have these dogs, they figure they're guard dogs, and they just let them run free. And we've had them chasing our cattle across the field before, which is not too good.
And, if the cattle run, then I think that's fun.
One time I was coming across Delafed Crossroad, and there was two young girls walking, and they were sobbing. And I stopped and said, "What's the matter?" And they said, "It's those dogs." And there was a white pit bull and another dog, and they were coming at them. And so I stopped. And of course, you know, they didn't know me, so I couldn't get in the car. And so I said, "Okay, I'll stay with you." And I went and I had a hole in my trunk, and these dogs were coming right up to me. But of course, the mother instinct comes in, you know, So I chased them. Got them chased away, and they're lurking back around, and they're sneaking around them. So I stayed with the girls, and I drove over to Belfast real slow, and I walked with the girls till they got over to the village. But you know, like these dogs, you just come out and
Some used to think that if they, when they moved out from town, they could just let their dogs run. Yeah. Dogs that weren't raised on a farm don't know what.
I don't know whether these were wild dogs or whether they were somebody's, but this one pit bull, it was... I had seen it one other day with a chicken in its mouth, too, like further down the road. So I knew it was a bad dog.
Well, there's a saying that you hear these days, especially out of Africa or Asia, about it takes a whole village to raise a child. And I think that was true in rural Canada and rural Ontario. And in this case that you mentioned, it needed everybody, whoever happened to be near, which was you, to save those kids and give them some protection. Mm-hmm. You can't get that so well in the cities now.
Yeah,
there's not much trust, and you don't know folks. It's harder to build community now, I think. Any last words you want to tell these people about your life and your time in that community, Eileen? Did it give you something? And what did you... You put a lot into it yourself, I think.
I just moved from the second line over to the sixth. So, I still felt quite at home.
Right.
I had known a lot of the people before.
Was it hard to leave to come in here to the extended care?
Oh, well, when you have to. When you can't look after yourself. There's lots of times I wish I was back out.
It was an improvement from the hospital.
Yes, right. You've stayed in the community all your life?
I have. Actually, when we were married in 1974, we lived in a little white house whose house it might have been.
Yeah.
Charlie Clouf lived there for a while.
Oh, yes.
And they used to call it Honeymoon Cottage.
I see.
All the newlyweds used to be there.
The newlyweds
started. It was on the farm that Jerry Rotzel used to have. The one right beside the hall there.
Okay.
It's all a subdivision now.
Yeah.
It's right about where the road goes into Sandalwood, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Where that road goes in used to be our garden.
Oh, okay.
And there was a little white house there, and we lived in there for 4 years after we were married. And then we separated the lot and built on the corner of the farm.
I see in this building you're located in the Ballinafad section. Did you ask to go and...
No.
Live in Belfast, or
just
what was free?
Just worked out.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your time and for your stories. We've been talking with Eileen and Doris, and we appreciate your stories a lot. It'll be interesting to lots of folks. Thanks again.